They're excited to be back, and it's good. And you know, last time I preached, everyone was like, "Oh, it's your last message as an unmarried man," and I don't know what the deal was. Everyone seemed to be making a bit of a deal out of that. So this is my first message as a married man, and I think it's gonna I think it's gonna be better, just quietly, you know, because. Is better, and so it's good. All right, I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for this time that we have together, God, that we can gather and we can meet and we can, God, we can worship you and praise you and hear your word, and God, the blessing that it is to gather together as your people, and God, I pray that we wouldn't take that for granted, but that every time we meet, God, we would be excited and expectant, and right now, God, we know that you want to speak to us something incredible through your word, and so, God, I just pray that I would get out of the way and that you would speak clearly to us, and thank you for my incredible wife, Maya. Amen. Just have to put that in there. That's right. Amen. I had to get it in because people do that sort of thing, and I just, you know, it's true, so you got to do it. All right, so if you missed this morning, then you should get the podcast, and you should get here for the next two Sunday mornings at least, because we're doing this series called Money Matters, and it's really, really good. And I was doing some of, like, looking at some of the video stuff. I just gave it away. For next week and the week after, and really great stuff, really practical and really, really good. And I mean, I already had like ideas of stuff that we could do, just coming from that. And so get that, get there, be part of it, and be excited about what God can do with you when you release yourself from money. I think it's such a good thing. And that we, instead of serving money, the money will serve us and that we will serve God. And that's such a powerful thing and such a great way to live your life. And so tonight, it's not quite on the same topic, but it's a little bit on the same topic. But my message tonight is called Jesus Cares About Your Everyday. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down. You know, I think sometimes we look at God and we think, well, he's huge. Yeah, because he is. You know, God is huge. He created the universe. And so we're like, well, God created the universe, and he probably can't really pay that much attention to the minutiae of my life, the little details. Like, he's so big and massive and outside of time that, like, my life here on this earth must feel completely irrelevant to God. Like, it's easy to think that way. But it's incredible that God doesn't just care about, you know, the big things, and he doesn't just care about us when we're being spiritual. You know, God doesn't just love you when you come to church. He loves you every day, and he's with you every day, and he actually cares about our everyday life. You know, we were eating lunch today, and we had some bolognese, and it was very nice, and garlic bread, and I was thinking about how cool garlic is. Bear with me. Do you know that there are all these things on the planet that we eat that are there solely because they taste good? And I was like, garlic, like, you know, there are health benefits of garlic, whatever. But like, you know, garlic, chili, herbs, all this stuff, like, it's unnecessary. You could just have water and some meat and some vegetables, and your body would get the nutrients that it needs and you would survive, yeah? But God is like created garlic and chili and basil and Thai food and all of these things so that we can enjoy it. And it's crazy awesome, isn't it? Because God, he cares about these little things. And it's amazing that God, this huge creator of the universe, is so big that he can multitask and that he can care about, you know, making sure that the earth doesn't run into the sun, and also care about what I had for breakfast, or that my life would be fulfilled, or that I would do the things that he's called me to do. Yeah, and we need to understand that God cares about our every single day. Amen. Awesome. You with me? You excited? Are you glad you came to church tonight? The Holy Spirit is just blowing the door open. Well, maybe just the wind, but that's all right. We'll claim it. Good. It is good to be here. It's good to be back. All right, so I want to share about Jesus' very first miracle. So if you have your Bible, you can open it to John chapter 2, and we're going to read a bit of a story. Good, good. I like a good Bible story, don't you? Especially when Jesus does something cool. All right, so it says that on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. It says Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So I don't know whose wedding it was. Maybe they say it's probably some cousin or something of Mary, because she was invited and Jesus was invited. And because Jesus was, you know, a teacher and had respect, like they invited his disciples. And so they're all there. All right. And so when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." It's funny, Mary. It's not a statement. It's like, you know, the garbage bin is full. That's not a statement of fact. That's a request to do something. Yeah. Okay. So Mary is saying to Jesus. Mary is saying to Jesus, "There is no more wine," and he says, "Woman, that's not what it happens in our house." Anyway, it says that the Greek means no disrespect. So you've got to get past that. It says, "Why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." But then his mother says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." We'll get to this. There's a few bits here. We're going to come back to it. I just want to tell the story first. It's okay, so there's these stone water jars. And Jesus says to the servants, "Fill them up." And so they fill them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And so they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants knew who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink and can't tell the difference." And he says, "But you have saved the best until now." That's cool. It says that what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Jesus cares about our everyday life. And I've read that story a lot of times and thought, why on earth is that the first miracle of Jesus? He doesn't raise someone from the dead. He doesn't heal somebody. But he helps people have more wine at a party. Because his mom asked him to. Like, what's going on in this story? It is different, yeah? And it's not something that we think about, but it's really a cool story about how Jesus cares about us every single day. And he loves us that much that not only does Jesus want eternity with you and he wants to give us relationship with God for eternity, but he wants to give us a good life here on earth. And he wants you to have a good wedding. We had a great wedding. It was awesome. Just as an aside. You know, it says in John 10:10, he says, "I've come that you would have life and that you would have it to the full." And then it says in Mark 10, if you've got your Bible, quickly jump over. It says, you know, where is it? Here you go. "Very truly I tell you," Mark chapter 10, verse 29, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields." Imagine having 100 mothers. That's weird. Anyway, and then he says, "along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Jesus says, not only, like, if you seek me and you give for me and you do what I've called you to do, not only will you get eternal life, but your blessing will be 100-fold today in this life, in the worldly things that we think we shouldn't care about because we should care about God. And that we should. And that's the way it should work, yeah? That when we seek God first, that he will bless our life. And instead of being focused on the things that we think we need, that we focus on Jesus and he provides. And it's this incredible thing. And it's just, I think it's just this amazing truth that we need to get. You know, we're talking about money, and I think we need to understand that instead of feeling like bound up or having of bondage or feeling like we can just scrape by and survive our life, you know, I want this life that is just abundantly blessed and empowered by God so that I can not only, you know, get through my day to day, but I can be a blessing to the people around me. I can make a difference in this city and in this world, and not be just a survivor, but go way beyond that and do everything that God has called me to be. Amen? Amen? Good. You with me? You're here tonight? You're allowed to tell me it's good. It's good when you tell me. It's good. It's good. All right. So, my question when I was looking at this story and I was thinking about this was like, how can we live out of that? Like, how do we live this like blessed, Jesus caring about me every day? Like, how does that affect me? How do I live that out? Is that a good question? Yeah, I think it was. And so the first thing is that we need to have an expectation and we need to have faith, you know? What's your everyday expectation about what Jesus is going to do? You know, Mary goes to Jesus and she just says, Jesus, there's no wine left. And she has this expectation that he is going to do something about it. And even when Jesus says, woman, my hour has not yet come, she says to the servants, just do whatever he tells you. Like, it's like she's ignoring him, yeah? Like Mary is just ignoring what Jesus has said because she has such this expectation that he is going to do a miracle. And I think it's really, really interesting because she knows Jesus. She knows his character. She knows his desire to bless. You know, the Bible says this was the first miracle that he had done. So how did Mary know that he could do a miracle? Like, she, how did she know that he could even do something about the situation? She wasn't saying, can you go down to Liquorland and get some, buy some more wine? She's like, just do whatever Jesus tells you. She has this expectation of the miraculous every single day because she knows the character of Jesus, yeah? She's been with him for 30 years, raised him from a child. She knew the word and the promise that God put in her heart right from the start. And so better than anybody else at this party, she knows Jesus and she has this incredible expectation that he's going to do something miraculous. And I think sometimes that's what we need in our life. You know, we need to have this incredible expectation that comes from an intimate relationship with Jesus. That when something looks like a no, that we know that Jesus has something better. Yeah, when we feel like everything is going wrong, that we know that Jesus is there, and all we need to say is, Jesus, I have no more wine. Jesus, I need you. And then we'll just do whatever he tells you. And they are really powerful principles, I think, for our life. That we could get to that point where we just say, yo, I need Jesus, and I'm going to do whatever he tells me. And then we can expect and we can have faith that he is going to do something miraculous. Amen? You know, Jesus wants to build our faith. I think one of the real key reasons that Jesus did this miracle, this is my thought, you know, I could be wrong. If you think I'm wrong, then keep it to yourself. We can talk later if you want, but I don't care. Jesus does this miracle, and he does something that's really worldly, and the only people that know about it are the servants and the disciples. You know, like the master of the banquet, he just thinks that the bridegroom had better wine. I don't know what the bridegroom thinks. He's just like, sweet, there's more wine at our wedding. Good. I don't know where that came from. You know, Jesus doesn't go and say, ta-da, here I am, water into wine. How impressive, because he says it's not my hour yet. I want to come back to that at the end. But Jesus does this, what looks like a really worldly miracle, just for his disciples, I think, and just to build faith in his disciples. You know, they're going to go through some tough times because they're following Jesus. And so right from the outset, when he says, come and follow me, he provides. You know, when he calls the disciples, he provides with fish. Like when he's calling them and he just says, all right, cast your net out other side. Here's the fish. And he provides their worldly need. And then when he comes to this miracle here and they're changing the water into the wine, he's like providing a worldly need. And he's saying to his disciples, you don't need to worry about this world, because I have it under control. You follow me. You seek me. You come with me. And then it says, that's in verse 11, it says, he revealed his glory and his disciples put their faith in him. You know, I think if Jesus had raised someone from the dead right there, first thing, it would have freaked them out. But he builds their faith with this miracle that they can wrap their head around. And they put their faith and they put their trust in him. And they stop worrying about this life and they worry about eternity. And because God has just blessed and done something in this world to build their faith, yeah? And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do for us, you know? He wants to build our faith in the everyday thing. And we can have that expectation. And we can go into everyday life going, God, how are you going to bless me today? What are you going to do today? And how are you going to build my faith in the everyday? Not just, God, I need this huge, massive thing or whatever. But let God build your faith every day as he blesses you, as he enables you, as he does things in your life every day. He builds your faith. And then when the big hard thing comes, you go, well, I've already put my faith in Jesus because I know he provides. And so I don't need to worry, but I can trust in him. Amen. And so when we get to know Jesus, that's when we can have faith in him, yeah? Because he is faithful and good and true. Amen. And that's what it says in Matthew 6. And in verse 25, I want to just read a little bit of this. I love this passage, and it says, you know, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds, they don't sow or reap or store away, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, are you not much more valuable than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And don't worry about clothes. See how the flowers grow. You know, they don't spin or labor, but even Solomon in his splendor was not dressed as well as them. He says, if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, I'm just paraphrasing a little. He says, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what shall we wear? He says, for the pagans run after all these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. I like that because he's not saying, you know, clothes and food are bad. He's saying, don't run after the things of this world. God knows that you need them. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and these things will be given to you as well. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to show his disciples right there, like right at that wedding, was that if they would seek him first, that they wouldn't have to worry about anything else, but that he would provide for them. And they don't have to worry about what they eat or what they wear or blah, 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 or any of that stuff that's worldly, because they could just seek God and he knows that we need it and he will provide if we would just seek him and we would just live for him. Amen. And so then we'd change from having this kind of poverty mentality towards our day and towards our life into one that's full of faith and expectation. Amen. Is that good? All right. You with me? All right, the second thing I think that we can live out from this story is generosity. And I love that the first miracle that Jesus does is this creative, generous act. He makes something out of nothing. There's no wine in water. Water is water. I don't know how he did it, but he makes wine, which usually needs, you know, grapes. You with me? You know, it's not too complicated. To make, and he creates that out of nothing, and bam, it's wine, yeah? Because God is this creative, generous God, and not only does he create wine, but he creates the best wine. Because he just says, well, if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it right. I'm not going to create the, you know, whatever comes in the little cask. I don't drink wine, I don't know. That's cheap and nasty. I'm going to make something good. And then the guy from the wedding is just like, this is the best wine. He says, usually it's the other way around. Usually people don't care. After we've drunk a bit, you bring out the cheap stuff. Nobody cares. But you've just saved the best till last. And it's amazing just how generous God is, yeah? And I just, as an aside, like, let's let God provide the best for us, yeah? Let's trust him and seek him. And instead of trying to grab after the best, let's trust God and let him provide, amen? Because his best will always be better than anything that we can come up with. I'm sure that the bridegroom spent everything that he could afford to get the best wine for his wedding, yeah? Like, I don't think he was a cheapskate. He was not just trying to fob off something bad, but I'm sure he, you know, he spared no expense. It's his wedding. But Jesus creates the best wine. He's just, I'm just going to, you know, he's a story topper or whatever. He's just like, well, you thought that was good. I can probably do better. And so he just, I don't know what he did, but it was better, yeah? And that's the same spirit that's in, alive in us. This spirit of generosity that we can live out every day. And when we know that our help comes from the Lord, when we know that everything comes from God and we don't need to worry, then we can be generous and free and creative because that's who God is and that's what He does and that's Him in us coming out. Amen? And so we can live with this generosity. You know, it says in Luke 6:38. Whoa. It says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. And it says, for with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. I like that. And Jesus just says, you know, there's this generosity there for you. And it will be pressed down and shaken together and all the running over. And I'm going to fit as much blessing as I possibly can in. I'm going to cram it in there. But he says, but you need to give because the measure that you use is the measure that I will use. And so Jesus is going to press down, shaken together, running over. Then where's my press down, shaken together, running over, giving of my life and myself so that then God can give to me, yeah? When we have this generous spirit, then God can pour generosity onto us and through us and it'll run out all over everywhere, amen? And God blesses and He does that when we know that it's from Him and not from ourselves. You know, we're talking about this whole money matters thing in the mornings and like we want the blessing of God, but we need to understand that it's from God and it's for His kingdom. And when we get that, that's when God can bless. And He says, well, if you're generous with a little bit, then I'll give you a lot. If you're faithful with a little, then I can trust you with the lot. And so when we come and we know that Jesus cares about every single day and He cares about the things that we need, then we can be free of worry and we can be generous. Amen? Is that good? All right. I want to finish with just a little thing that is really cool. Is that good? You know, right at the start of this story, he says to Mary, he says, why do you involve me? He says, my hour has not yet come. And I'm interested in this, you know. Jesus' hour was not the miracle to make him famous. You know, he does this miracle and doesn't tell anybody about it because he doesn't want anybody to know that he did it. He does it to build faith in the disciples. He doesn't do it so that he would get notoriety in the region or in the world. But, you know, come with me to John chapter 12. Because I was really interested by what Jesus' hour is and was. And he says in verse 23, you know, he's knows that he's going to the cross. And this is what he says, verse 23. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus' hour wasn't turning water into wine so that people would be, he would be famous. His hour was dying on the cross for us, and that's his glory. And he says, the Son of Man will be glorified when he dies on the cross. Like he's talking to his disciples about himself. He says, that's the hour. And then John 17, he's about to be arrested, and he says this, he prays to God, and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And I was just hit by this week that the whole gospel is this amazing water into wine story. Where instead of getting the water, we get the wine. And the Jesus glory is us. Jesus' glory is that we can have relationship with God, that we can be forgiven for sin, that we can have freedom. And, you know, we do communion, and it's you drink the wine to represent Jesus' blood. And this whole, it's like comes full circle where Jesus' hour is not all the miracles, but Jesus' hour is dying on the cross for us. And it's just this powerful thing, you know, that is just loving, generous, extravagant, undeserved, the best wine for us. every day and for eternity. It's such a powerful thing, amen? And let's pray, hey? God, we just thank you so much for your presence here. God, thank you that you are speaking to us, that you're putting something on our heart. God, I just thank you for Jesus. God, that his hour wasn't worldly glory because of miracles, but his hour was glory because of his death and resurrection. That his glory is me and is us and is everyone who would turn to him. And so, God, I pray that we would have hearts that are humbled by that. God, that we would have hearts that just want to follow you and seek you, God, that we would trust you with everything, that we would be generous with everything you bless us with, God, and we would know that you care about us every single day. God, not just in the big spiritual moments, but in the day-to-day. God, you are with us and you want to empower us. And God, we just thank you for that, that you, creator of the universe, creator of everything, care about our lives, God, and that Jesus died for us on the cross. That that was his glory. Thank you, God. We pray a prayer every week, and it'll come up on the screen in a second, and it's a real simple one. So while everyone's just, you know, in that attitude of concentration, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God tonight. You know, that's the reality, is that the glory of Jesus was his death on the cross for us, and that by ourselves all we could do is water. All we could do was not even close. But Jesus breathes life and gives of himself, and there's wine. There's this undeserved favor and blessing and grace from God in Jesus Christ. And so I want to give an opportunity for you to thank him for that, and to ask for his forgiveness, and to start a relationship with him tonight. Maybe it'll be the first time you've ever said that, or maybe, you know, you've prayed that before, but you feel far from God. Then I don't want a night to go by where we gather together that we don't give that opportunity to get right with God. And so we're going to pray this prayer. Everyone's going to pray it, so nobody feels embarrassed. We're going to pray it together. But if you mean it, or it's a recommitment, or the first time, then, you know, talk to the person you came with. Talk to a friend and say, I prayed that and it meant something to me. You know, something stirred my heart tonight and it was different. And I really want to live for God. So we're going to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.